Just 2 weeks ago, hard to believe, it seems like it was just yesterday, but 2 weeks ago we celebrated the birth of Jesus and the angels appearing to the shepherds. Last Sunday, on New Year's Day, we celebrated the holy name of Jesus and his circumcision, following the law of Moses as commanded by God that every male must be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. And then it's then that he was named with the name of Jesus, just as the angel had told Mary and Joseph. Then Jesus was taken by Joseph and Mary to be presented before the Lord in the temple of Jerusalem. And if you remember that Bethlehem is only about 6 to 8 miles from Jerusalem, so it was not too long a trek for the family. Last week we talked about Simeon and Anna and the blessings that they bestowed upon this baby infant Jesus. God had given to Simeon eyes to see the Savior whom Simeon had prayed for his whole life, and to see him before he passed into eternity. The word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, which means Messiah. In today's Holy Gospel, from Matthew chapter 2, we read a group of men who are described as magi. These men are often named wise men, magi, or three kings, as we sang about in the opening hymn. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, we read, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Sometime after the birth of Jesus, these wise men entered Jerusalem following the star. And let me clear up and give you some clarification as to what the word magi means. We've let it morph into wise men and kings, but it comes from the Greek word magos, which means a magician or an astrologer, a class of wise men specializing in astronomy, astrology, and natural sciences. Because of this, the King James Version refers to magi as wise men, maybe to lessen the negative view of the occult that could be drawn from the word magic. Well, many times we hear these men referred to as three wise men, but actually there's no evidence to support just how many there were. There were three wonderful, marvelous gifts that were offered, but there could have been 2,000, 200, seven wise men. No one knows for sure. There are some who believe that the wise men were a group of astronomers from the Mesopotamia area. And the names of these men cannot be found anywhere in Scripture. I want to make that clear. Sometimes we let tradition creep in, but religious tradition names them as Melchior, who is believed to be a Persian scholar, Caspar, an Indian scholar, and Balthazar, an Arabian scholar. Their names and countries come from churches in Syria, Armenia, and Eastern Orthodox churches. It was the custom of visiting dignitaries to go and see the king of the region that they were in. And so these foreigners visited Herod and asked for information regarding the king of the Jews. Can you imagine how this must have lit Herod's torch? I mean, he must have been honked. Because here, he's the king of the Jews who had been put into place by the Romans, and these foreigners are coming in and asking to see the king of the Jews. How utterly rude. Not really. But when these men came to meet Lord Jesus, they didn't find, as sometimes we picture on Christmas cards, the baby in the manger. They didn't find this child wrapped in swaddling clothes. In the gospel, Jesus is mentioned as the child. After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they'd seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. These visitors from the east were miraculously led to the place where the young Jesus was. This is a miracle in itself. These Gentiles, they traversed afar, to use the words from the hymn, and they came to the place where the child was. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. You notice they didn't go to the stable. They went to a house. And there's some more evidence regarding the length of time that passed from the birth of Jesus, found in Herod's attempt to destroy the young Christ child. Herod had all male children in Bethlehem who were under 2 years of age murdered. And we go past today's gospel to Matthew 2, 16 to 18. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and younger, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now, if you go back into the Old Testament, Jacob, the son of Isaac, the father of the 12 tribes, his wife was Rachel, and her tomb is in Bethlehem, and you can visit it today. What we have here is a vicious king who was bent on destroying all of these young male children. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all of the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ child was to be born. And so they went right from the scriptures in Bethlehem in Judea. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Well, then Herod called together the Magi secretly and found from them the time that the star came to them, and he was starting to put two and two together. And then comes the most remarkable line where he says, go and find the child and then come back and tell me so that I may go and worship him. What an out-and-out lie. And what evil intent. He didn't want to go and worship the child, to worship the Lord, the King of the Jews, but instead he wanted to slaughter him so that he could keep his job security. That's it, plain and simple. For all of the good that Herod did throughout Israel in rebuilding and refinishing the temple and many other projects like building Masada and other fortresses, he was a real madman. He wanted to know where the king was born as foretold in God's word. Listen to these words from the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, and that was one of the original names for Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. So let me ask you a question. How can a baby be from ancient times? The answer is simple. Only God can be that. Only God can do that. I find it interesting that the Jewish leaders knew the prophecies, but they weren't going to go and see for themselves. Instead, we have this group of Gentiles who were willing to cross a desert, to follow a star, to offer gifts, and here's the important part, to offer worship. After speaking with the scribes and the chief priests, Herod sent these visitors, these magi, these wise men, these three kings, if you will, to Bethlehem to search for the child. And as I said, he pretends that he wants to worship him. Well, the Magi go and visit Jesus, and Scripture says from Matthew, after they heard the king, they went on their way, And the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. God led these men with the star directly to where Jesus was, and they fell down before the Lord and they offered him gold, incense, and myrrh. And God warns them of the perils that lie ahead of them if they go back through Jerusalem, that Herod wants to do away with the Christ child, and so they head home another way. God was trying to show these magi something special, and they were blessed, like Simeon and Anna, to meet the Savior firsthand. And you know as well as I do, the world needs a Savior. God today is doing the very same thing. God wants all of his people to see his Son for who he is, the Savior of the world. God opened their eyes and he opened their hearts. And these men fell down when they saw Jesus. And these Gentiles worshiped him. And it wasn't like if these guys were kings, it wouldn't be in their practice to worship anyone else, because they were at the top of the food chain where they lived. And even if they were just scientists, you know how scientists really don't like to look at anything other than what they're working on. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people today who see God at work all around them and actually know God who is working, but they're either themselves indifferent or they just don't care. They're so wrapped up in themselves and what they've got ahead of them. And then there are many who really do believe that Jesus is Savior and that the only way to heaven is through Jesus, but they refuse to open their hearts. And then there are those who completely deny Jesus is the only way. Thank God we stood on the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we're not going to be convinced to think otherwise. It's tragic that people can't open their hearts to understand who Jesus Christ really is and what he brings. And we need to pray. That's how we can help those people. We need to pray for those who do not think that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, or they think that Jesus is something else entirely. The best way that we can help them is by praying for them. We need to pray for their hearts to be opened and transformed, that the Holy Spirit will reveal himself to them and change their hearts and their lives forever, just like God sent a star to change the hearts of these magi. No matter how many there were, they worshiped a child. What a picture of humility in these men. They fell down and they worshiped him. I find there's something very, very special about humbling yourself and bowing down before Almighty God. And these men did just that. And they offered some valuable, precious gifts to a young child. And Jesus was completely worthy to receive these gifts. They gave him gold. Gold for the King of Kings. They gave him incense, or as we commonly refer to it as frankincense, which represented him as the high priest of high priests. And lastly, they gave him myrrh, which represented the extreme sacrifice that Jesus would make on our behalf. Myrrh was a spice that was used to preserve and prepare a human body for burial. A remarkable act that Jesus made, dying on the cross and taking our punishment. They gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And these were expensive gifts. They gave it to a young king, willingly, humbly, and gratefully, as an act of faith. There are some accounts that have these men following the star for approximately 2 years. You want to talk about a road trip, and what a picture of faith. I mean, they didn't have Yetis to be able to fill up and preserve their drinks and keep it cold or hot, or to keep all of their, you know, lamb or anything else that they were carrying with them. No, they didn't have that kind of stuff. There were none of these modern conveniences, and they probably didn't have sleeping bags, but they probably had tents, and they roughed it for quite a while. They obediently followed a light in the sky without even knowing how long a trip they were going on, not knowing what they were going to encounter along the way. They didn't know exactly what they would find when they reached what the star was pointing to. And no matter what the journey held, they followed. They followed God, relying on Him. And that's exactly what we're called to do. We need to be following a God-given direction in our lives, not knowing how long our journey will be, not knowing what we're going to encounter along the way, but asking for His guidance, His love, His provision, and His protection. We need to trust God. Like the wise men and like Mary and Joseph, we as a church and as a people of God must listen to the direction that God has given to us. We must follow Him. Sometimes when He gives us direction, it may not be so easy to listen and obediently to follow. But like these very wise men, we need to do one thing: to obediently follow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.